You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey there, real estate fan. Are you still chasing tenants, posting ads, or stuck managing every little task yourself? This episode breaks down 10 simple high-impact tasks every real estate investor should delegate or automate starting this week. Whether you're hiring a VA or just ready to reclaim your time, these strategies will help you scale without burning out.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fans, I have exciting news to share with you. Our monthly in-person networking events are back. If you're in the Montreal area, and even if you're not, go ahead and grab a ticket for our next event at equitybuildersclub.com/events. I would love to see you out. Hey there, real estate fan. So in this episode, we're going to talk about something that is coming up over and over again at our Equity Builders Club events, and that is the question of scaling. And so what I want to do today is present you 10 very easy things that you can delegate or automate and get off your plate this week, meaning you will never have to do them again. How great does that sound? But before I jump into that, I want to just do a little zoom out and talk about the three phases of scaling. And so based on what I see with the Equity Builders coaching program is that there are really three kind of stages where people get caught with their scaling. And the first one of these is really just that initial phase of you don't yet own anything. You're a little bit paralyzed by analysis paralysis and you don't know how to start. So that's really the first thing. And that's kind of like getting stuck in the starting gate. The next thing that we see a whole bunch in Quebec is that people manage to acquire that first or second residential property. So the duplex, the triplex, maybe the fourplex, maybe somebody's even managed to acquire two or three of these. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting there with, you know, two triplexes and you haven't figured out how to get the bank to lend you more money. And so that's the other place that in Quebec and in Canada, we as investors tend to get stuck with our scaling. And so just an interesting point of comparison with the market in the United States, where residential properties, banks are able to offer debt service ratio mortgages on those smaller properties. And so that means that you will sometimes meet American investors who've managed to accumulate like portfolios of 300 single family homes. In Canada, that's virtually impossible for people to do. And it means that one of the things that you're going to need to do if you hope to be a professional landlord, so to get over that 10 door mark, is that you're going to have to understand the way that the multifamily game, so the way that we play in the ring of properties that are more than five doors, so five doors and more, when the whole financing game changes. And it changes essentially due to the fact that the financing is really not the same anymore. And because the banks are no longer interested in you and your personal debt ratios, they're actually financing based on the economic value of the building. It means that there's really no ceiling from a financing perspective on how far you can grow your portfolio. And so interestingly enough, that's actually what we specialize in at Equity Builders, is to help people make that transition in terms of how they practice real estate investing, to go from that mom and pop level, and then to be able to play in the court of the professional investor by getting over that hurdle and understanding how that multifamily game works up here in Quebec and Canada. But that is not the topic today, because then the other thing that happens, the other kind of pressure that we face with scaling is just our time. And increasingly, as you begin to understand the real estate game and you get better at the industry, all the things that are involved with it, whether it's finding deals, closing deals, financing, having that awesome professional network, controlling the deal flow, as that stuff becomes less of a mystery to you, the next bottleneck begins to become your time and the systems that you have. And so eventually, so when you're going to be getting up to like 40, 50 units, at that point, you're actually building a business. And the challenges that people face at that phase are different. But there's also this kind of like awkward middle stage where you can't really hire help directly yet, but where managing your properties is beginning to generate a lot of work for you and that it's becoming time consuming and probably also annoying. And it's taking time out of, you know, maybe things that you'd rather be doing with your family. It's taking up some of your precious spare time, or it's creating stress for you. And so that's really what I want to gift you in this episode are just those 10 super easy tasks that this week you can get off your plate forever. So without further ado, let's jump right into these. And I will say that I am offering the cheat sheet that goes along with this episode for free if you go to the equitybuildersclub.com website /delegate. So equitybuildersclub.com/delegate, you can grab a copy of this cheat sheet for free. That's my gift to you this week. So without further ado, I want to share with you some of the easy things that we put in place at my agency just to save us time in how we manage properties. So the first thing is to stop opening doors yourself. And one of the really easy ways that you can have this happen is to install lockboxes at all your properties. Now, I know you might be thinking that that's a little bit sketchy. You maybe don't want to have the keys for all of your units sitting out in front of the building. So I'll share with you a little trick about how we manage to do that. So we will have outside the building just a lockbox with the main key to the building with one code. And then inside of the building, in that common stairwell, we will have either a lockbox that's chained to the guardrail if there is one, or else we'll mount one on the wall or in the maintenance closet somewhere, and then have all the keys of the individual units there. And so that means that every time you need to send a contractor, you don't actually have to show up to open doors for them. Like, how much of a great time save is that? The bonus of this is that whenever there's an emergency, so, you know, it's 2 a.m. on Saturday morning and something blows up, maybe your plumber is picking up the phone, but because the keys are already at the building, you don't actually need to drive out there and deal with it yourself. You can just use trusty old FaceTime or WhatsApp on a video call to guide the person to find those keys and then access the units. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is to appoint a tenant concierge. And we do this by picking the most responsible tenant. And as a caveat, I will say that we only really appoint tenant concierges to our star tenants. And so it will happen that certain buildings do not have a tenant concierge just because we don't feel like there's anybody who has the right kind of personality profile and level of responsibility for us to be delegating. But what's awesome about appointing a tenant concierge is that that person can handle, you know, garbage situations that get out of control. They can send you photos every week of the state of the building. They can mow the lawn. They can open the door for trades. In some cases, they can even show units for you if you have vacant units. So really, that's another time-saving thing to just have a responsible person and then to set up a protocol of what you want them to do every single week. And this might really allow you to stay in touch with what's going on with your property without having to drive out there. And as a word of advice for this, I will say we do not write those kind of things on the actual leases. We have a separate contract that lays out the responsibilities, the roles, and the compensation of that tenant concierge so that we can actually fire them or change them if the work is not being done to our satisfaction. So just like a pro tip, don't do that on your lease document. Have a separate lease. Now, the next thing, if you've never heard of virtual assistants, this is where you're going to really want to begin to learn how that works and leverage some of this to gain back your time. So a virtual assistant can either be someone offshore or it can also be someone local who just does not come in to work in an office and whose time you're probably only using fractionally. And this is another great way to save time if you are handling the rentals of your units yourself is to have your VA post those rental ads and take care of answering some of the replies. Because let's face it, those rental leads are super time sensitive and you pretty much have to be answering your Facebook Marketplace messages in real time if you don't want to be losing those rental leads. And so having someone who posts the ad on Facebook for you and then screens and sets up those appointments is just going to prevent you from having to be diddling your phone all day long. Now, number four is kind of a bonus on this topic. And one of the things that we've been having issues with this rental season is the fact that Facebook Marketplace is constantly changing their algorithm. And so some of our marketplace ads, as the rental market's getting tighter, are just not performing as well as they did previously. And so one of the things that you can have your VA do is to just post those rental ads in certain groups on Facebook, different social media groups, and just the added visibility that that creates by additional engagement doesn't mean you're necessarily going to rent your unit that way, but the social media platforms reward posts that have a lot of engagement. And so if your ad is getting a lot of engagement, that then creates kind of a virtuous cycle, and you can very easily just have your VA do that for you. And what I will say here is that if you are not familiar with a tool like Loom or some other kind of screen recording tool, like Loom even you can get for free. So why would you not just sign up for that and then record a quick screenshot video of the way that you want your Facebook marketing to be handled, what groups to post in, how to message and respond to people. And then the virtual assistant can just really enact exactly how you want your process to happen. Now, while we're on the topic of VAs, and this again is now time-saving tip number five, is that you can have that virtual assistant also manage your calendar. And so one of the things that's super annoying with handling rentals is that, you know, people want to visit at all different sorts of time and they're messaging you all day long. And so you can really have your VA just block the time on your calendar and then have the person schedule for you. And then eventually maybe even send you a list of the confirmed visits. You can even have them confirm the visits with people so that when you show up there, and we tend to have a really big no-show rate with a lot of our ads, it means that you can be showing up and really get that whole process of responding to people, scheduling, and then confirming those appointments. You can just get all of that off your plate. The next thing that you can do, which is just an incredible time saver, so time saving tip number six, is to have your VA do inbox triage and filing. And so there's really a great way to set up your inbox in such a way where all of those bills from suppliers, certain kinds of communications can be put into folders so that you only batch and deal with them, let's say, once a week. And now if you want to get this going in a really crazy way, hopefully you're doing all of your filing of bills and stuff and your data entry electronically, which means that either you're using Dropbox or Google Drive to store all of your bills, your leases, all that kind of stuff. And the great thing is, if you have a VA who is managing an email inbox for you, is that you can just have them directly take all of those incoming bills, file them for you. And then time-saving tip number seven is you can actually have them do the data entry for you. And whether you're using just a simple Excel file or if you are using a property management software, there's no reason why you can't just take 10 minutes to record a Loom and then explain to the person exactly how you want those documents to be filed and classified. Now, if you want to take this even to the next level, and that's time-saving tip number seven, you can even have them send you a payment email. And so if you're still paying your bills by e-transfers manually, you don't want to be doing that every single, you know, day willy-nilly as stuff comes in. So what I have had my virtual assistants do in the past is to send me a Terry Pay email once a week. So I'm really not interacting with any bills that are coming in or anything like that, because that person is already sending me a list every week of pay this person, pay this person, pay this person, pay this person. Now, while we're on this topic, point number eight is that, as you know, contractors often are not the best with doing their paperwork. And so one of the other things that happens all the time is those bills come in and the billing information is wrong. The unit numbers are not mentioned. Perhaps even the address of the property is wrong. And so you can have your virtual assistant handle that back and forth, because as they're going in and making that pay email or saving the files, they will notice if the billing information is wrong, and they can do that back and forth with the suppliers just to make sure that all of that billing information is correct. Now, the next time-saving tip is, don't you hate it when you onboard a building or you have to make modifications and you're just stuck on hold with the insurance company or with the utility companies? Now, there are two ways of handling this. You can either set up a proxy so that that virtual assistant can make those calls for you completely without your intervention, or you can just coordinate with them a time when you will be available to be patched in on a conference call to just identify yourself and then have them sit on hold and do the basic legwork with that conversation so that what is a 1 hour ordeal actually turns into a 5 minute of you being patched in, identifying yourself, and then getting off the call. Then one of the other things that can be a real great time saver is also just making the VA do your basic follow-ups for invoices and for rent collection. Now, I wouldn't necessarily have my virtual assistant handle collections issues, so when tenants are late or anything like that, but that first initial poke that we tend to do around maybe the 5th or the 6th of the month, I do have my VA just reach out to the tenants by email and follow up with a phone call just to be like, hey, you know, we noticed your rent is late. Is there anything you want to tell us, or do you want to go ahead and pay it? So having some of that following up of invoices and rent collection, you can get some of that off of your plate as well. So ladies and gentlemen, a final word, you don't need to have a crazy manual. And I think this is where a lot of us real estate investors put off this delegation process. Like, honestly, I will see it for one of two reasons. I will see either that people are afraid to give a virtual assistant, to give someone else access to what they're doing. And so that can be like a real fear-based motivation where, you know, you get prevented from doing your delegation because you're afraid to give someone access or to like hand some of that stuff off. And I think this is really something where you need to sit down in a quiet place and really have a conversation with yourself that you're not going to be able to scale when you're still doing all of that basic administrative back and forth. And so giving someone access to whether it's your electronic files or creating an email address that they can work out of and that you're going to receive all of your bills in, like that's really something that you need to consider as a potential step forward on buying back your time and then being able to focus on some of those high value activities, which is really how us investors make money. We don't really make money by shuffling information around and saving bills. We make money by investing in education, by networking, by finding deals, by negotiating, by talking to people, by, you know, speaking with tenants. And so this is really how you build your business. It's not with all of those like little tasks that I have just listed. And so unfortunately, getting over some of that control and the fear is an important issue. The other place where people sometimes fail to delegate when they should is that they feel like the task of getting these things off of their plate is just so all-consuming, right? Like if you've never used Loom before, if you've never done standard operating procedures, if you haven't written a manual, like you might just be panicking that doing all the setup to onboard someone is just really too time-consuming. But if you just start with these 10 tasks that I have laid out for you very easily in this episode, and again, I will remind you to grab the cheat sheet, please head over to equitybuildersclub.com/delegate so you can grab a copy of this. But really setting all of this up should not take you more than a couple hours. You can get that done this week. And then imagine you will benefit from this little operation of scaling and automation and delegation for the rest of your career as a landlord. And so sometimes just a question of getting things off your plate so that you have a little bit more breathing room to be more strategic in how you invest your time. And ultimately, that's what we're doing as real estate investors. Part of it has to do with investing capital, but we also need to learn how to invest our time in the wisest way possible in order to uncouple really what we're doing as investors from the value of our time. Like being able to create systems that do things for us as opposed to doing things ourselves is really the important thing that, you know, we need to focus our energy on. And so I will say that, you know, for the kind of mom and pop landlord or for the mid-level investor who's trying to scale, these kind of hacks of delegation and automation are just so key in being able to get to the next level. And then when you get sort of beyond that and you've managed to build, you know, a full-time portfolio, you're then more in the sphere of setting up some of those business practices that successful entrepreneurs need to nurture no matter what kind of business they're in. But realistically, what's a bit unique about the real estate field is that you will go through some of these growing pains, some of these mid-level problems before you come to really building a business in the conventional sense. And I find that this is where sometimes a lot of the business books actually aren't super applicable to the real estate situation, because they're all going to focus on having you build a team and do standard operating procedures, when ultimately you're still kind of running the ship by yourself and you're looking to just outsource, delegate, or become more efficient in the way that you are managing your investment portfolio. So, I mean, that's the thing with real estate, is that it is kind of a, you know, not cookie cutter of exactly how you would build a business. And that in that middle level, hopefully a tool like this is going to help you be able to get back some control, have some more time, and be more efficient with how you invest the time that you have. So, real estate investor, thank you for listening to this. Please go ahead and share this episode with one person who you think could benefit from it. And there are certainly enough headless chicken investors out there that this is, I'm convinced, valuable information. Tune in again next week to the Real Escape Investing Podcast.
The second exciting thing is that we still have a few more coaching spots available in our next cohort. If you would like to have a little bit more help closing on that next property, please go ahead and fill out the contact form on equitybuildersclub.com, and we would be happy to jump on a call and explain to you a little bit more about what we do.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.